Buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia.
This is Vic Trell. Welcome to the Vic Trell Show here, filling up for Phil Henry here this afternoon. Filling in actually for Corinne and Admiral to Phil Henry. Well, you know what I mean. It is the Vic Trell Show here, and we have got to get it set in this afternoon. And don't forget the number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Vic Trell Experience. Talk about an awful lot of things that are going on in the news, and I don't know if you've seen the news, I don't know if you picked up a newspaper, I don't know if you know what a newspaper is, but it generally lands on your driveway, it's made out of paper, and it has all kinds of music in it, then you open it up and they tell you about stuff that's going on in places other than your own house, and places other than your own street. And I gotta tell you something right now, there's stuff going on that is really scaring me and making me feel really bad. Listen to this news story right here. The death toll from Venezuela's mudslides and flooding has surpassed 10,000. That means that 10,000 people are dead from mudslides. That, according to Venezuela's foreign minister, he estimated, confirming fears that the disaster's magnitude is worsening. This is terrible news. The disaster is worsening in Venezuela. 10,000 people dead from mudslides. Trained rescue dogs scour the debris and search for survivors as widespread looting broke out across the coastline, devastated by landslides and floods triggered by torrential rains last week. That is terrible that there's looting, raping, and pillaging going on in Venezuela right now. As 10,000 people are dead as the result of mudslides. This is the Vic Trell Experience, giving you all of the up-to-the-minute news, up-to-the-minute experience of the news around the world, around the nation. This is Vic Trell. Getting back to our story here, that Venezuela disaster relief workers scurried across the tarmac with the wounded at Caracas International Airport, which a week ago was bustling with travelers and duty-free shoppers. The smell of decaying bodies wafted through the airport, and nearby Caribbean beaches were turned into cemeteries. Flooding victims stumbled off of helicopters at the nation's main airport, which has turned into a chaotic refugee center. Wow, is that bad news? I gotta tell you something. I have some friends of mine who live in Venezuela, and I'm gonna tell you, they say the smell of those decaying bodies is really funky. Is really funky. That has got to be funky. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Here, Vic Trell tells it like it is. And I'm going to tell you right now, we got to make this world a better place. All of these floods, all of these torrential rains, hey, it must be the end of the world. And that's freaking me out. You know, that whole Y2K thing is really freaking me out. And I'll tell you something right now, if Y2K hits America, then of course we'll have dead bodies, and that smell has got to be funky, and I mean par excellence. Foreign Minister Jose Vicente Rangel gave a new death toll, a telephone interview with Associated Press. Not clear how many bodies have been recovered, but most of the dead remain buried under rubble and mud. All right, let's go over here. And don't forget our big phone number, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Vic Trell Experience here, filling in for Phil Henry here this afternoon, this evening, wherever you're listening to us across the United States of America. The Vic Trell Experience. The news just keeps getting worse, as if it isn't bad enough to read about dead bodies buried under rubble smelling really funky. Nancy Reagan, the former first lady, says that 5 years after her husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, he's no longer capable of having a conversation. Mrs. Reagan also said that friends of former President Ronald Reagan no longer are invited to their California home because Reagan does not recognize them. Wow, that's too bad. The former president no longer swims or takes walks, she said. She commented during a recent conversation with C-SPAN executive, one of the most exciting guys in show business today, C-SPAN executive Brian Lim. That was over there at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley. The session was part of the cable network series American Presidents Life Portraits, which is aired throughout the year. Mrs. Reagan's interview currently is being broadcast. Well, I got to tell you something right now. The last time that President Reagan, according to the story, the last time the president tried to swim, he sunk like a stone. Now, in other news. This is unbelievable. I got to tell you something, folks. I am not feeling well. You know, there's a big flu virus going around, and so Vic Prowl is not up to snuff. I'm suffering from a little bit of intestinal flu, as well as some of the more chronic flu up there in the sinus areas. And I know a lot of you are suffering through the same flu epidemic that I am. It's pretty rough, and boy, do I feel bad. But I'm in here trying to do the very best job that I can to make this a better place when you're hearing about bodies buried under rubble in Venezuela and the fact that President The fact that President Reagan is not able to carry out a normal conversation as a result of the increasingness of Alzheimer's disease, I think this is a very terrible thing. But I'm going to, excuse me for just a minute, I don't feel very well. As you know, I've got an intestinal flu that causes me some great nausea. Hold on, I think I'm going to vomit. Barf! Yo, man, that really felt bad. Hold on for just a minute. Whoa, barf! Well, I threw up again. Boy, this head cold is really bothering me. I'm going to have to blow my nose. Blow. Yeah, there it is. Boy, look at that. Oh, my God, it's green. It's no longer clear. It means bacteria is in my nose and in my sinus areas. I am now beginning to snort out green phlegm out of my nose. Blow. There it is. It's green. It's no longer white. It's no longer a white viral infection in my sinuses.
This is the Vic Prowl Experience.
Here, I'm not feeling too good. I've been sick all weekend. Barf! Well, I just threw up again in the waste paper basket, but thank God for Jimmy Johnson, who, of course, is my big producer here on the Vic Prowl Experience. Give me that garbage can to throw up into. Hold on, I gotta blow my nose one more time. Blow. There it is. Oh, yeah, that stuff's bad. It's bad. It's a viral infection and a bacteriological infection. Plus, I've got streptococcus in my throat. I don't feel good at all. I feel really bad. My temperature's 105. I shouldn't even be here. I should be at home, laying in a deathbed someplace, or hospitalized. I think I need to call Medevac. We're going to be sitting here doing all the big news here for you, the Vic Prowl Experience, telling you all about Ronald Reagan not being able to swim and all of those bodies laying under the rubble there, and of course the big flu virus that's going on, and the Y2K fear that's being spread throughout the nation. This is the Vic Prowl Show. Don't delay. Tell your friends about the Vic Prowl Experience. Excuse me for just a minute. Barf! Oh, that feels a lot better.
The Vic Prowl Experience.
The American Beauty leads the Golden Globes with 6 nominations. I don't even know what that is, but they told me to report this. The American Beauty film leads the Golden Globes with 6 nominations. That's 6 nominations. Now let's move over here to other news that's more important, news that is really fitting, news that we really got to get to here at the end of a very long workday. This is a big, big story for you here. This is just in. If I could just find it, this is the story that I've been wanting to tell you people about for a long, long time. This is the big story here. Despite Y2K, mass flights into the hills are not happening. That means a lot of my relatives are going to be staying here in the United States, staying here, right here in the city. Nobody is leaving. Nobody is scared of Y2K. I don't get it. I spent an awful lot of money on beef jerky.
Vic Prowl has to be sick into a waste paper basket, but he'll be back.
This is Vic Prowl, sitting in for Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-1-800. Oh, that feels much better. 1-800-449-8686, the Vic Prowl Experience.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Good afternoon, and thanks for showing up on Saturday for our signing. Those of you who did, those of you who didn't, I can understand. It was out in Fontana. Some of you don't even live anywhere near Fontana, and some of you don't even live anywhere near California. So those of you who did make it to our Fontana signing who were from out of state, was there? I think there was a couple from Seattle, Washington. That's a very nice thing. Man, I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. And the people at my friend's place as well. And then we had about 500 people out there. What would you say, Mike? What would be the crowd estimate? About 500? We had about 500 people. We made $10,000, which is a beautiful start to our annual fundraising campaign for my friend's place. And the CD is out, and it's good, although there is a minor, there's a minor flaw. I don't know if you heard that. There's a slight technical glitch in one of the cuts. It does. It's the cut with Art Bell, where there is some problem between, you know, there's like a, just, it's almost like a skip. Hardly anything. Half a second. Thanks a lot, Crozier, for all that quality control. Now, I'm kidding. It happened on mine. I spilled some pizza juice on it. I don't know. In any event, we have, like I said, about $10,000 worth sold. We have online sales as well. If you'd like to buy our CD on sale, you can go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And order it $23.50. That's $3.50 shipping and handling. It's something I think every family should have. And don't forget, for your gift-buying needs, I'm sorry. I got to start all over again. man tries to do the best he can, and he can't even talk. Oh, God. Excuse me for just a minute here. Oh, man, I want to start off on a Monday the best I can, but you know what? Can't do it. Hold on. Ooh! Ooh, wow! That's good. Ah. All right, I have... Ooh! Ooh! All right, so anyway, we were at the Rock Honda Fontana, $10,000. Thank you for showing up. $10,000. Oh, yeah, you can buy it online. $3.50. 50 cents. Hold on. $3.50. $3.50 shipping and handling. And $20 for the CD. We have pre... hold on. Hold on for just a minute. We appreciate all of your concern, all of your help. Really had a great time. Met a lot of wonderful people. Met some... Okay, so there's another mistake. Met some lots of money is what I was about to say. Made a lot of money for my friend's place. What's our online sale at? Do you know? Any idea? Do we have any information about anything around here? Nothing? Okay. Do we have any information? I know the trends came out today. Do we know what our trends are? Nothing? Nobody's volunteering, so I imagine we're in the toilet again. Well, that'll be some good news for a lot of people who hate us. Good thing we're filling in this afternoon, huh? Oh, by the way, we are going to have as a special guest this afternoon, this evening, Whack Job. He's a brand new shock jock who's on the air here in Los Angeles making lots of headlines. I don't know if you've heard this cat. The guy is way out there. He's on K99. He's heard every morning 6 to 10 on K99, which is a brand new AM/FM-owned radio station here in L.A. And this kid, Whack Job, he's about 25. He really pushes the... In fact, I'm looking at his press release right here. He pushes the envelope like no other. He takes it further out. And yes, Mike Crozier asked me the question. Yes, Mike, he is kicking ass and taking names. Yes, he is. So Whack Job's going to be our very special guest later on in the program. Margaret Gray is also going to be with us. She's directing a holiday version of West Side Story at her son's elementary school. We're going to find out how that is going. And just a few other things that we'd like to talk with you about, some important and pressing information that we'd like to talk to you about this afternoon. If you'd like to join us, our number again is 1-800-449-8686. For those of you listening to us on the East Coast and you're wondering why I keep saying this afternoon, I don't know. Interesting story in the newspaper today. Hold on. Ow. Interesting story on the wires today and on the internet about names and the names that parents are naming their kids. I know you probably thought I was going to be talking to you about pet names or something, what we're naming our hamsters. But this is about what you're naming your kids. Michael was the most popular name of the last few decades. Michael, the most popular boy's name in the country for decades, has now been ousted by a new name, Jacob. According to Social Security records, Jacob and Emily are the top baby names so far in the year 1999. Michael lost the top spot because there are several ways to spell Jacob, said Social Security Director Michael Shackelford. Look at this guy's name is Michael. He's even kind of giving it to himself, isn't he? He's just sticking it right in there and breaking it off, isn't he? Michael Shackelford said, hold on. Michael Shackelford said, he compiles the list. You can generally spell Michael only one way, but Jacob can also be spelled with a K, he said on Monday. When you add the spellings together, Jacob is the winner. Emily, popular throughout the 90s, ended a one-year stay at the top for Caitlin, which slipped to number 7. Other favorite girls' names after Emily were Sarah, Brianna, Samantha, Haley, and Ashley. And if you stop to think about it, if you're really brutally honest with yourself, if you can really just get up in the morning, stare into the mirror, no matter how frightening the image is staring back at you, and if you can just suck it up for one more day and be honest with yourself, you'll admit to yourself that you know a few people who named their kids Haley and Ashley. Go ahead. Have the guts. Yeah? Okay. Following Jacob and Michael this year were Matthew, Nicholas, Christopher, and Joshua. And that will come as rather jarring news for my wife, Maria, who named two of her sons, Nicholas and Christopher, and thought she was being entirely unique. Shackelford said complete numbers for 1999 would be available next year. Mike, would you get on his mailing list so we can get those numbers just as soon as they're made available? So how did Michael's reign... Hold on. I was almost okay, and then I sort of went... So how did Michael's reign... Ah, that's good. So how did Michael's reign end? Baby name experts Cleveland Evans of Bellevue University... This cat's name is Cleveland. Told the San Francisco Examiner people weren't wedded to the popular J names of the 80s. Justin, Joshua, Jason, and Jeremy, but still like the sound. In the classic biblical name Jacob, they found a keeper. So if you really can suck it up and really get some self-scrutiny going, don't you know some kids named Justin, Joshua, Jason, Jason, and Jeremy? In fact, every one of my our eldest guy's friends, Nicholas's friends, they're all named that. He's got about 15 friends. They're all named Justin, Joshua, Jason, and Jeremy. All 15 with those names spread out. There finally comes a point where something new comes up and people don't realize it's so popular, so it can sneak in, said Evans, a psychology professor. We're going to be looking at the names Theodore, Alice, Jane, Betty, and Agnes when we come back. And just what happened to those names? Beautiful names, floral names. Nobody's got the guts to name their kid Theodore or Blanche anymore. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show here, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Let me just take another shot here. Oh.
この飛行機は地上 3万 フィートを飛行してまいります。また、通信、本日機内では Godzilla を用意しております。また、 Pearl Harbor.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Got another one, Ruth and Helen. And those are all generationally identifiable names. You can pretty much bet that a woman named Ruth or Helen is a World War II, pre-World War II baby. Helen Hunt notwithstanding. I mean, you know, they come along every now and again, but Helen, Ruth, and Helen, forgive me, is almost drag queen-esque. Because I'll tell you, after reading The Gay Metropolis, a lot of the anti-aircraft, the men who manned a couple of the anti-aircraft batteries in North Africa, American soldiers who were manning the anti-aircraft batteries against the Nazi Luftwaffe, which was, you know, attacking American tanks and British tanks, a lot of these guys were gay. And so they had a nickname for Hitler. The nickname they gave Hitler was Helen. And if the Luftwaffe was particularly vigorous, they'd say, oh, God, Helen's pissed today, isn't she? And they'd go after Helen with their anti-aircraft. And I think Betty was Himmler's nickname. Well, that Betty and Helen, oh, Christ. So those names like Betty, that's another great name, Betty. There's nothing wrong with the name Betty. You're not going to not date a good-looking girl because the name is Betty. I think that there's a far greater, what do you want to call it? I don't know. I think there's a real stain that goes with the name Ashley, I'd just like to say. Okay, Culver City. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, right here, ma'am.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I have four children, Baron, Jeanette, Storm, and Theodore.
Baron?
Yes.
Jeanette?
Yes.
And now what's up with Storm?
And just like the name.
Why? Is that a name or is that just some sort of post-hippie problem?
It's a name. It's a name. I read about a storm, an author who lived in England.
Right, and there was the Storm Phillips. No, was that Stone Phillips? There's a guy who did literally weather here in Los Angeles. Storm, wasn't it? Storm Davis.
I like the name.
It's a beautiful name.
And
then
Theodore.
Let's talk about Theodore. Is he named after somebody?
Well, my father's name was Theodore, but I like the name.
Father's.
I always have.
Uh-huh.
I like Theodore Roosevelt.
You like the name Theodore? You like the name Theodore Roosevelt?
Is the name
shortened to Ted or Theo or anything like that?
No, I call him Theodore, but
okay.
One of my friends calls him Thor.
I think one of the things that happened with the name Theodore, I'm not kidding. I think the Chipmunks blew it for that name.
It became very
identified with one of the Chipmunks, Alvin, Theodore, and whatever the other guy's name was.
And Simon. Yeah, I get a lot of people, you know, they'll say, oh, who's this? I say, oh, it's Theodore, and they'll say, well, where are Alvin and Simon?
Are you going to have any more kids and maybe name them Rumor or Scout or something like that?
No, we're done. Four is enough.
Good for you.
Four is enough.
And a lot of what happens, I think, with a lot of these people, they're always...
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is David G. Hall.
David, Mr. Hall, my name's John Crosby, and I was shocked to hear this display of uncaringness regarding President Reagan's condition.
You heard what, sir?
I heard somebody on your show, on your station about 10 minutes ago...
Yes, sir.
...ridiculing President Reagan's condition, and I think it's shameful.
What did he say, sir?
Well, he's got Alzheimer's. We know that. And he made fun of him for having Alzheimer's.
What did the guy on the air say?
Well, he said a variety of things. I can't repeat everything. I didn't memorize it. But what he said was enough to stir me up and get me to call you.
Well, I don't know what you want me to do. If you can't tell me what he said, I don't know what...
Well, for instance, let me think now. He said that the man couldn't remember anything and that he could not have a conversation with his wife. Well, obviously...
That generally happens.
I have a friend that has Alzheimer's, and it's a terrible condition.
Well, that generally happens with Alzheimer's, correct?
It's terrible. I know,
right.
But why ridicule someone who can't be responsible?
Did he ridicule, or did he just simply say the guy can't carry on a conversation?
Oh, no, he made fun of it. He was laughing, ha, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Well, I want to tell you, I listen to your show all the time.
Hold on for a minute.
Mr. Hall.
Hold on for just a second, all right? Get Andrea in here, will you? This guy on the phone says that you were making fun of President Reagan.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't?
No.
He says he wasn't. Hello?
Yes.
He says that he was not.
Well, I heard a distinct voice coming over your channel not more than 10 minutes ago.
I got the guy right here. Did you make fun of President Reagan?
No, I did not.
He says that he did.
It wasn't Phil Henry. I know him. It was somebody else. It sounded like a tape.
Might have been somebody else.
Sounded like you inserted a tape in there. And it's
Was it Vic Prell?
Who?
Vic Prell.
That might have been it.
Hold on for a minute. Get Vic in here, please. I'll find out who it is, but I don't know what it is
that
he
said.
Well,
let me tell you.
You won't tell me what he said.
Mr. Hall.
Vic Prell, what do you want?
Vic, let me ask Vic, were you making fun of President Reagan?
I never made fun of President Reagan, though. I was reading a news story about President Reagan.
Talk to this guy, will you?
Hello, it's Vic Prell. Yes, sir.
Yeah, were you the one making the joke about President Reagan's condition?
No, sir, I was reading the news story about President Reagan's condition, and the news story said that President Reagan tried to swim and he sunk like a stone.
Yeah, that was right.
All right, well, I mean,
wasn't
what are you...
that lovely?
Let me tell you, hold on a minute,
I want to talk to you.
Well, wait a second, he said that in the story, though.
It isn't even remotely funny. I have a good friend that's got Alzheimer's, and he's in a terrible condition.
I can't even talk to the man. What's his name?
And it makes me mad as hell to hear somebody come on the air and ridicule one of our great presidents.
Were you making fun of the guy?
All I said was that he went swimming and he looked like a stone.
Well, that doesn't sound nice.
I don't think that's funny at all.
Uncaring.
Come here for a minute, Vic.
That's uncaring, sir.
Ow! You ever do that again, you're fired.
Oh, the thing was... Ow!
You ever do it again, you're fired. I just hit him.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hall.
I struck him.
Thank you.
You think that's all right?
I feel better, but I just wish I could have done it myself. But thank you for listening.
You could have done it yourself. Well, you do it and you go to jail.
Mr. Hall? Hello? Hello, Mr. Hall? Mr. Hall, are you there?
Mr. Hall isn't here. This is Vic Prowl.
Well,
he left the office.
Yeah, well, anyway, I just want to tell you that I'm still very upset about it.
I don't always try to make fun of your friend. I was making fun of President Reagan. I wouldn't make fun of your friend.
Look, anybody got Alzheimer's, it's the most terrible thing you can have, sir.
Can you hold on for a minute, please?
I hope you never have to experience it.
All right, hold on for just a minute, all right?
Oh, no, I'm going to hang up. I have to go to dinner now.
You going to where?
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Asshole.
All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So the names, Ashley, Brianna, Caitlin, Kately, whatever these names are, this is the manifestation of the new thinking with the new parents. I don't know where everybody's getting biblical. The new names are biblical. Jacob, Joshua, you know. Upper middle class families tend to like names traditionally connected to the upper crust. Emma, Henry, Eleanor. Blue-collar families, on the other hand, aren't so attached to the past and prefer more popular emerging names like Cheyenne and Dakota. I don't know anybody named Cheyenne, and I don't know nobody named Dakota. I do know some Brittany's and some Brianna's, and some of the names are almost cheese-like, aren't they? Brianna Gouda Smith. Your wife had a friend named Cheyenne? So what's that about? Are we trying to assuage our guilt about Indians? Let's name our kids after tribes. You're going to name your kid a Mohawk? I wonder whether Sue. Okay, I know plenty of girls named Sue. Is that what you're talking about? Susie Sue and the Banshees? You're going to tell me you're going to name a girl Blackfoot? Brianna Blackfoot Brown. Cheyenne sounds very feminine. Somehow Apache and Blackfoot don't get it done. You name a boy Blackfoot. Better not be a black kid, though. I'm serious. I mean, like, you know. I know, as the foster parents of this young African-American, we'll call him Blackfoot. You know, he's got a little black feet. There's Cherokee, and there is Iroquois, and there's the Mohicans, and there's the ones that lived at the Chumash. Go ahead. Try naming a 14-year-old girl Chumash. See if she speaks to you after her 14th birthday. 14th, 15th birthday. I think it's over. And I'll never forget, as I was mentioning to you, Mike, when Grace Slick and Paul Kantner had their daughter, China, you know what her real name, her initial name was, the name that was publicized? The name that they publicized was God. They're going to name their kid God. And even then, I mean, I'm talking 1970, I forget when it was, I'm thinking, yeah, that's not cool. You can't saddle a kid with the name God. She's going to change it. And the name eventually was changed to China Kantner, right? Now, I don't know whether she changed it or they did, but somebody got some sense. China you can live with almost. And Dweezil seems to be doing okay. And Moon Unit, what does she care? Although it didn't really launch any new, you know, there's not a new rage of names, Moon and Dweezil. Bub, Ahmet, I don't know. How about Yamal? How about Kareem? How about Muhammad? These are names that will live forever. Brand spankin' new. No more Sam. No more Albert. No more Lavoris or Sizzaline. Now it's Muhammad and Yamal, and it's Kareem. And that's the way it ought to be. But when we get these yuppie names just poking their ugly little heads up with the Briannas, the Haleys, and the Ashleys, and the Sarahs, and you think you're being unique, and there's about 15 kids in your kid's class with the exact same names, come on. Now, Maria, you know, named the youngest Catherine with an A. That way, it's going to be different from Catherine with an E. And boy, is there hell to pay if you misspell that name. As if there's any way you can really hold on to the uniqueness of a name. If you name your son Nicholas, I got news for you. He's going to be Nick. You name a kid Alexander, guess what? He's going to be Al. And if you name a kid Christopher, you know what? Sooner or later, he's going to be Chris. And I don't care how many times you spell Catherine with an A, she's going to be Katie. How about Marshall? Guess what happens to a boy named Marshall? Kid grows up, he's called Marcia for the rest of his life. I know. It happened to me. Your mom's name is Catherine, no E in the middle, just C-A-T-H-R-I-N-E. What illiterate soul named her? Catherine. I'm going to call her Catherine. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show. It's 1-800-449-8686. And at 6:30, get the kids around the radio. Coming up at 6:30, for those of you listening back east, Midwest, see my show, which is nationally syndicated. And I say nationally, we're getting into towns like Green Bay and Reno. No, but I believe me, I'm very thankful. I'm very, very thankful. So when I say 6:30, just ignore the times, okay? I'm saying specifically for the LA audience, at 6:30, Santa Claus is going to be here. Is that sweet or what? Get the kids by the phone. Santa Claus will be getting the whole trip from your kids. The whole list, whatever it is that they need. Give them the lists. Let's do it. All right, that's at 6:30. Sweet. Newport Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know, I have two boys, and I think their names are pretty different, and I'm pretty, looking back now, I'm really thankful I named them what I did, but the older one is Chase, and the younger one is Fletcher. And I
Chase and Fletcher.
Chase,
you know,
they
go into business together. They could run some kind of a yuppie hardware store.
Well, huh? I don't think of them as really.
That sounds like a really good.
I just wanted something a little different, so there wasn't a whole bunch of Chase and Fletchers in the classroom with them.
And if one of, let's say Fletcher's cornered one night,
coming
out of a bar, and they say, "What's your name, man?" Fletcher, and lay into him. And he's peeing, and he's peeing blood for a month.
Fletcher, but I think that's a pretty strong name.
May I be honest with you?
What?
May I be honest with you?
Yes, you can.
Together, they make one good name. You put Chase and Fletcher together. I don't know what you get, Chester or Chase Fletcher. Yeah, that's a good name, Chase Fletcher.
And what's your first name?
My first name is Phil.
Okay, so my point well taken. I have two great names for my boys.
Well, what's that got to do with my name, Phil?
So there's tons of Bills. William,
No. Phil as in P-H-I-L-I-P.
Phil, Philip. Phil.
As in Prince Philip. What, are you telling me it's gay?
Yeah, I am.
Chase and Fletcher? You're telling me my name is like a little light?
Philip.
Sure.
Your kids Philip these days.
Well, these days, this was 1952 when he laid that one on me.
Oh, my goodness, you're old.
47, baby. I'm about 11 years older than you. I'm old enough to be your big brother. Okay. So
okay.
What's with Chase and Fletcher? These are names that were from a relative or something? Or
no, they were just Chase. We were going to name him Cain at the time, but we felt that was too biblical.
Cain?
Cain.
Yeah, he's also the bad son, wasn't he? As in Adam raised a Cain.
Right.
Okay.
So we decided to go with Chase. I don't even remember where it came up. And Fletcher, just because we liked it. And I still like
Can I ask you a question? Seriously,
yes.
And you can answer. Are these kids named after your favorite gay friends? Or
no.
Do you have any
My favorite gay friends have, like, the name Ramin and...
And Phil.
And Eduardo.
Well, I know why you didn't name them that.
Yeah.
It's too ethnic.
So, I just wanted to tell you those are their names. I still like their names.
Hey, you know what? I thank you for calling, and thank you for putting up for my crap. They're very nice names. Very strong names.
Enjoy your show.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
I rest my case about Philip. She's basically told me my name sucked. And God, are you old. Did you get that crack? 47? Whatever, I'm 47. Like, I'm going to hide it. Like, age necessarily reflects any degree or lack thereof of hipness, right? You know, for instance, if you're 47, well, everybody knows that the really good stuff's being done by people 30, 35. Not in my business, it isn't. Maybe in, like, science, medicine, the insurance business, something. But in radio, the only really good shows are being put out by guys over 40. And I let me underline the word guys. Over 40. So I'm very proud of that. And the fact is, I'm still younger than Crozier's dad, so I'm okay. So far, so good. Anaheim on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Great.
I wanted to call you up and tell you that my 4-year-old daughter's name is Cicada.
Now, isn't that an insect?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, some kind of a flying bug.
It crawls up a tree every 7 years.
Right.
Cicada.
On.
Who named her?
Actually, I did. My wife, she was a week late delivering her, and the doctor called us up and said, "Come in tomorrow. We're having your baby." So I took out the atlas, and just started running through names, and I found a Cicadia National Park somewhere back east, and I liked it. So,
did your wife have anything to say about this?
Well, you know, we kind of had a fight over my son's name. I wanted to name him one thing, and she wanted to name him Adam, which is like the most common name in the world.
Uh huh.
And so I said, okay, the next one's mine.
So I got you. She got Adam, and you got Cicada.
Right. Right. So I wanted to name her China, but that got vetoed.
Well, are you proud of the fact that you spent about, what, say, 5 minutes going through an atlas, picking your daughter's name, and then ran over to a hospital with it?
Well, we had to.
In order to win that, in order to have your way with that name, you needed the name really fast, and
right.
you pulled out a world. You went geographical, I guess. Is that what something
right.
you were thinking about?
Right.
That's okay, huh?
Oh, sure. And she loved it. Well, we actually call her Katie for short.
I mean, what if you pulled it out of a Thomas Brothers?
Hey, that
Phil, be- we've named her Wilshire.
There's a lot of good names, a lot of good street names.
And what if your finger had fallen on Bulgaria or Taiwan?
Oh, she might not have forgiven me for that.
Adam and Bulgaria are two eldest. They're really nice. Okay, brother.
That's good, man.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. What's going on is, you know, they're just names. You know, they're really just names. A name becomes special when you do special deeds. Special things in this world. Otherwise, you give a kid a real regal name, and if he is convicted of a multiple murder, or for instance, a serial killing, or in the case of Mark David Chapman, you know, an assassination, suddenly that very regal and clean and very almost, you know, highbrow name suddenly takes on the trappings and the sound of doom and gloom and historical infamy. Like John Wilkes Booth. That name could have been one. That could have been a great name. Could have been the name of a surgeon. John Wilkes Booth is like the name of a jackass now. Everyone knows. Except for certain affiliates. Certain members, certain listeners of certain affiliates. Everyone knows the name John Wilkes Booth is the name of a jackass. Or what else do we got? We got the three names. Henry Lee Lucas. Could have been a country singer. Could have been a famous rodeo rider. Henry Lee Lucas could have been a tremendous songwriter. Henry Lee Lucas was a freaking serial murderer down in Houston, Texas. And who was that cat down in the Revolutionary War? Benedict Arnold. That could have been the name. What's your name? Ben Arnold, huh? An insurance guy. Hi, I'm Ben Arnold. I work State Farm out in the Valley. How are you? Great. Full name's Benedict, but I don't use it. Ben Arnold. Ben Franklin, how are you? Now, instead, Ben Franklin's a jackass. No, he isn't. Ben Franklin's a cool guy. Benedict Arnold was a bad guy, wasn't it? Who's the guy that was a Revolutionary War guy? Benedict Arnold discovered electricity.